Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything on the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. Most importantly, I want to thank you for sharing us with your friends and families. Today, we've got one heck of a topic, and we got one heck of a guest. We have Andy Williamson. He's the CEO and co-founder of ONLC Training, and he specializes in helping working professionals and organizations actually adopt AI in their day-to-day work, not just talk about it. He created the Augmented Framework, a practical model for building AI fluency without leaving people behind. That's big. Over the last few years, he and his team have run more than 100 AI engagements with business leaders, from solo professionals to mid-sized enterprises. So Andy, I want to welcome you to the show. We're just excited that you're here.
Hey, Steve, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. It's my favorite topic, AI. That's all I do day and night. First thing when I wake up and the last thing when I go to bed, I'm studying it. It's hard to keep up with it all.
Okay, so we got that part, but what got you into doing what you're doing right now? Everybody wants to know.
Well, I used to work as a mainframe programmer at the DuPont company in the early 80s, and I met my future business partner there, Jim Palik, and we decided we liked working with PCs more than mainframes, and we thought we could strike out on our own. And one of the first things we did was teach people how to use them. And we got drawn into that, and I realized I was pretty good at it. And so we built a whole business around it about teaching individuals and organizations how to adopt the latest technology. And I've been doing it for 43 years. We just had our 43rd anniversary last month.
Oh, wow. You must have been five when you started.
No, I was in my early 20s, but thank you. Yeah.
Oh, I'm just kidding. Hey, look, you know what? Let's just start talking about this AI moment that we have, you know, and it's more like an AI movement than anything else. You know what? We see this transformation that's happening, and we'll talk about this more and more, where people are concerned about job loss, what it means to them, what's really happening out there. We've heard company after company beginning to lay off individuals. So that's kind of a big thing. But let's just talk about what's really going on with this movement or this moment that we have here with AI right now.
Yes. Well, before we jump into that, I just want to share one thing with you. And I won't even, I'll just show you on the screen here. But this is, I changed my lock screen on my phone. And I don't know if you could see that. You see that little kid?
Oh, yeah.
That's my first grandson. He was born on last weekend.
Oh, and congrats. Yeah,
Remy Allen Williamson. So, you know, when we think about the work that we do and how it impacts us directly, but what about our children and our grandchildren? You know, and I think sometimes in the scale of humanity and mankind, when I'm doing things, and we'll see that as I weave through it, as we talk about it a little bit more. So for me, it's more of a mission than just a job. And so, and along those lines, you may have heard about the kids that were booing at the graduation ceremonies recently.
Yeah, University of Arizona and University of Central Florida.
Yeah, UFC and Google's ex-CEO, Eric Schmidt, was there. And he said to the graduates, he said, "The rocket ship is here. Just get on." And he got booed. And Gloria Caulfield at UCF said, regarding AI, "It's the next industrial revolution." And she got booed. Now, it's not universal, and it wasn't the whole crowd, and it wasn't at every university. And in contrast, Carnegie Mellon had Jensen Huang, the head of NVIDIA. And he was there and he said, AI is not likely to replace you, but someone using AI better than you might. And he didn't get any booze, but he was at Carnegie Mellon, which is deep into AI as well. So that might have impacted it. But then there was an article last week, or I think it was just this week, in New York Times that I was reading, and it was about this difference in opinion related to AI. And there were 1,200 replies in the article before they shut it down. And I was surprised, Steve, most of them were negative. And I didn't understand why. So I read through them and I saw a couple patterns. And one was structural in that when people use AI and it gains in popularity, the gains go elsewhere. The gains go to the big AI companies, not the person who's at risk, these people who are potentially at risk for losing their job. And the other thing was they didn't get a vote. And that's kind of like why they booed Eric Schmidt, right? He built the rocket ship and you had to get on his rocket ship, right? They didn't like that. And plus, there's a steep tradition of graduates booing their speakers over the years. It's always something different. But one comment from a professor at one of the universities, she said she noticed that some of the students that were booing were also the students that were using ChatGPT on a regular basis to complete their assignments. So, there's two sides of this, right? But it is true that the country is divided. So Pew, Gallup, and Axios Harris have all done polls in the last couple of months, and they're showing that some people are excited about AI and some people aren't. And it's almost 50-50. But what is interesting too is that the Gen Z, the younger people, are three times more likely than boomers like me to think that the risks outweigh the benefits. So the country is kind of split.
So here's a big question. You know what? I don't think you can, but can you stop it? I mean, all these people who don't like AI, can you stop it? I don't see how you can.
No, actually, I just got my hair cut for your show yesterday, and my barber asked me that question. We were talking about the kids booing, and that's what he wanted to know. Can they stop it? Well, I mean, just as much as you could stop the PC revolution or adoption in the 80s, when the year before I started ONLC, Time's Person of the Year was a computer. They had a IBM PC on the cover. And so just as you couldn't stop that, and you could fold your arms and say, I'm not going to be part of this. And I have some friends from high school that I think they have an email address, but they never look at it, So there were people that just resisted. And that's going to impact. And as we talk later today, you're going to see that decision can impact what happens and how you use the technology, and it can impact your job opportunities.
So, you know what? You know, obviously we can't stop it. So, what can we do? That's the biggie.
I saw a video. I watched thousands of hours of video trying to understand what's going on with AI because you can't, it's hard to take formal classes in it at the level that I'm understanding it. I'm always at the next edge trying to understand what's happening right away. But there's a gentleman, his name is Mustafa Suleiman, and he had a he's the head of Microsoft AI, and he had a TED talk. And one of the lines he had in there, and it stuck with me, he said, the shape of AI is not given to us. We collectively decide how it will be implemented. So we determine the shape of it. And so that stuck with me too. So it's like, oh, okay, maybe I can help. Maybe I can do something and determine its shape. But So this resistance has happened over time, you know, with the printing press and the steam engine and electricity and the automobile. People thought they might be losing their jobs, and that's important to note. But there are also the benefits, like people are living longer, they live more, they have more more comfortable lives than they did 100 years ago. And there's generally less suffering with technology benefits over time. So every technology is good and bad. You can start fire to help cook your food, and you could burn a house down with the fire, right? And so the same thing's true with AI.
Oh, no, I totally agree with that. I mean, my dad's 89. He was just recently in the hospital due to a heart issue. And one of the things was a clot, and they were able to actually go find the clot and then actually take out the clot where it was. And then he actually went and had his open heart surgery today. And because of the technology increases, that wouldn't have happened 10 years ago. They wouldn't have been able to do it. He would have been, you know, things would have not turned out well. And you know what? Everything turned out really, really well because of the advancements in technology. So AI, I totally agree. It's an important thing. It's moving everything forward, but you know, gosh darn, it's scary. So hey folks, stick with us. We're gonna be right back. We're gonna talk with Andy Williams some more about AI and how to navigate the workforce.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. And right now we're talking about the AI and how to navigate this job shift. And we've got Andy Williamson here. And you know what, Andy, we were, you know, talking about that there's no real shape to AI. There's not much you can do about it. It's the advancement of technology. But you know what, when it comes to automation, and we've heard that term throughout our whole work life. I don't care how old you are, you hear automation. To, you know, when we talk about automation to augmentation, you know what? When you got started with AI, okay, you know what? How did you, you know, what is it really like there? How did you get started with that?
Yeah, as far, it came out, ChatGPT is usually, the start of ChatGPT was, I think, November of 2022. And so I heard about it, and a couple weeks later, I took a look at it, and I said, oh my gosh, this is the biggest thing I've ever seen. I've been in technology for 40 years, and I had never seen anything like it. And I could quickly see where it was going, especially if it continued to improve. Mm-hmm. And it, Steve, it reminded me of a story or situation that happened when I was in eighth grade. Our social studies teacher stopped the class, and he started to talk about genetic engineering. And it was a big deal back then. And it was a major breakthrough. And he looked at the class and he said, you will have to decide how to use this technology when you are in control, when you're older. And it made me think, that's right. I'm going to grow up and be in control at some point, and I'll have to make decisions about genetic engineering. Well, nobody ever asked me about genetic engineering, Steve, but that context that someday I'll be in control and I'll be steering when something important is going to happen. That's what landed with me when I was learning about generative AI. And so this is as important and maybe significantly 100 times more important because, you know, it can, like we talked about, it can help potentially solve the energy crisis. We might be able to get free energy if they could unlock the how to do fusion, or we could get desalinated water for all the people who are living with limited water resources, or potentially cure disease. I mean, you brought it up with your father's situation. You know, mm-hmm. imagine if that would have happened a couple decades ago.
Oh, yeah. You
know, yeah. Yeah. So we all benefit from technological advancements, but it also has that harm thing. And with AI, you can get wealth concentration in all those big companies that own all the models. We could surveil the population like they do in China with AI. We're not doing that here. You can create bioweapons. And that's scary, where people who aren't that skilled can learn how to create a bioweapon. They guardrail the models so that that information doesn't get out. That's one of the things that they really work on. But from a day-to-day perspective, you even get all the hacking. Have you gotten any good phishing emails lately that look like they're really coming from your bank or whatever?
Oh, yeah. That, you know what, happens all the time. I mean, even AI sending out voicemails talking about, you know, I get at least 25 AI calls a day about how I just got a pre-approved for a loan.
That fills my inbox. That's all I get. I must be on the same list as you, but yeah. So we get all of that. And I wanted to tell you about another video I saw, because I watched so many videos. This was another one a couple years ago, and it was from this professor from Stanford. His name is Eric Brynjolfsson. Took me a while to learn how to say that, but Eric mm-hmm. Brynjolfsson, he's an economist from Stanford, and he had a video about the Turing trap. And I knew about the Turing test, and many of your listeners may know about that. The Turing test is like if you get an answer and you can't tell it's from a computer, then that means the computer is as smart as a person. And the backstory on that is Alan Turing was a computer scientist from the 50s, and he knew about this game. It was a Victorian parlor game called the Imitation Game. And in that game, they would have people sitting in the parlor, right? And then they would put a man in one room, a woman in another, and nobody would know which person went in each room. And then they could slide messages under the door to both. And then somebody would read the message, and you had to guess which one was the man and which one was the woman. So it was a little bit of a sexist game back then, but he knew about it. And he said, let's do the same thing with the computer. You know, if somebody had a teletype and they could sort of communicate with the computer and then get a response and communicate with a person, could you tell the difference between the two? And that became known as the Turing test. Well, the problem with that, Steve, is if that's your aspiration to do exactly what humans can do, then you'll end up substituting people when you use technology in that way. And that's what you were saying, automate versus augment. If you automate, that's like substituting. If you augment, that's like complementing. And so that's the real game. That's what we're trying to show companies, is that what you do is you create a situation. You do automate to save people time and to get the busy work out of their workflow. But then you create situations where if they work with the AI and they work with between their skills and the AI skills, that they accomplish together what neither one could do on their own. So that's what we mean by augmentation.
The significant advance in productivity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. and gives companies a new opportunities to do things that they couldn't do before and expand. So it's not all job loss, but to get to that point where you do the augmentation, there's a little bit of work, and that's where we come in a little bit.
So but, like in reference to your company, you know what, for example, with phone systems or leadership meetings, how can how do you teach people how to that augmentation into practice?
Yeah, so what's happening is companies are collecting this information in a structured way and then letting the AI see it. It's called making your context legible, right? So when you work with computer, when you work with AI, there's a context window, and that's, you know, what that one chat knows about. And it's similar when you're working with agents, you have a context. And so when you record meetings, like transcripts, I record every meeting, where we make decisions, if we can record that and then expose it to the AI, then the AI can help us make decisions. So that's part of that. Mm-hmm.
So in other words, like Steve Jobs used to go into meetings and just ask question after question after question, get all the answers, and then make his decision. The AI will help him make a decision if you're doing something like that.
I record every meeting, you know, and so with our phone system, yeah, we're actually just looking at a new phone system right now. We're about to make a decision which one to use. They have amazing capabilities. Not only can they record what you're saying, but they can be listening real time. And we teach like 100 different packages. And so if somebody starts asking about Adobe Photoshop and you don't know about it, it can pull up that information on the screen right as you're listening. Or if you're telling me what your needs are as in your work, it can help put together a special learning journey for you. And by the time we're done talking, I can have it ready and I can send it out to you. So those are the kinds of things that you can do with these new phone systems. Yeah, they can lift up or augment the people who are on the phone. It's not just a monitoring thing. I mean, it is good to have some monitoring, because when you the leadership knows what the people are doing, and the people through the transcripts can hear what the leadership's doing.
Now, you know, for you, you know, when you're looking, going back to what you were doing there, and you know what, my understanding is, I'm trying to understand, like, you've been working this practice for a very, very long time, bought out your partner, you've got a very highly tenured staff, pandemic hits, you got a big sales decline, no layoff. What did you do there to help move forward with AI? How did it help your business?
Well, that's a little bit of a different story. See, what's happened is the AI has gotten more powerful in just the last couple of months. The first few years of working with Microsoft Copilot and ChatGPT, I mean, you could write an email that sounded like a pirate pretty easily, but it didn't really move the needle. That's what people were talking about. It's like, these little games are fun, but how do we actually get some ROI? And so it wasn't until very late last year and early this year that the models got a lot better and could do more competent things. Before, it could do 20% of it, and then you would have to take that 80% and do it by hand to fix it, and you'd end up spending more time than it was worth. Mm-hmm. Just recently, that changed. So while we taught over the first 3.5 years, we were informed, we had three free webinars that we would do. We had over 30,000 enrollments, 30,000 enrollments over that period. And we taught so many people. I think I taught over 10,000 people myself in those webinars. So that was just a way to establish us and establish the importance of generative AI, but it's only until recently that it's really getting impactful, where it can do powerful things on its own.
Perfect. Hey, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Andy here on Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I truly thank you for tuning into our show and appreciate you sharing us with your friends and family. All the replays are available at Saving with Steve at the savingwithsteve.us website. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight and information on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channels so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 3V, New York City TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Now we're jumping back here with Andy Williamson. We want to start talking about, and you're seeing this all over, hey, we're seeing layoffs with these big tech companies and everything. So we want to talk about that job chaos. And we also want to, you know what, the K economy. But what, you know, but let's really start here, Andy, because I'd like you to educate our listeners. What does
Sure.
a K-shaped economy really mean?
Yeah. So if you think of a K, right, it's got two lines, one going up and one going down. And if you look and if you just took the average, you'd think, OK, well, things are OK. Everything's OK if it's a good average number. But from an individual's perspective, you're going to be placed on either the upper trajectory of the K or the lower trajectory.
So you're either going here or down here.
It's going up or it's going down. Yeah. And so we'll back up for a second. So the big companies right now are, they can afford to adopt AI and invest tens of millions of dollars sometimes to implement AI in this advanced way that I talked about, where you make your decisions legible to the AI. And so their workforce is becoming automated. And what we're finding, we thought that the primary impact was going to be on the entry-level jobs. But when you look at these mature companies, what was it, Meta, and there were just a couple others this week that let people go, they let the middle managers go, Steve. And the reason they did is because when you have AI and it's understands what the leadership's doing and it understands what the individual contributors are doing, you don't need the middle manager layer as much to communicate those the information up and down. So that's one aspect of it.
So what you're saying, like, for example, my son's company, they're pretty much keeping all the engineers and some of the senior management, but multiple layers of middle management are going away.
Yeah. Do you know the Y Combinator company, the venture capital, you know, the startup firm, and they're at the leading edge of this, and they say that in the future there'll only be three kinds of workers. There'll be the IC, the individual contributor. There'll be the D RI, the directly responsible individual, and that's somebody responsible for a whole workflow, and then the leadership, and all three roles really have to know AI very well. There isn't going to be a role for anybody that's not steeped in this. It's like saying, you know, what roles are available in a knowledge worker economy for people who don't touch a computer, right? Like back in the 80s, right? You can't just fold your arms. So that's important. What's going to happen? I brought up the big businesses, because the smaller businesses, the bigger businesses are the one that can afford it today. But when it becomes 100 times less costly to do that kind of implementation in a year or two, then every small business is going to want that capability that the big businesses have, and they're going to need people to staff that. And so the people who have spent some time moving forward over the next year or so coming up on AI, they'll be able to jump onto that upward trajectory of job opportunities. And I believe they could probably get like a 20%. I've seen studies that they say you get a 20% lift in your pay when you're a person that can use AI to do much more than your non-AI using peer.
Mm-hmm. And we're probably going to see a lot more people that are younger, because they understand how to use AI, become much more fluent quicker, just like we saw with the beginning of the computer program, the internet, the whole shot, all those new revolutions, people want to call it, but it's just a new industry that's moving forward.
Exactly. And you have, I think even Accenture is letting go of managers who refuse to adopt AI. They say it right. It's like everyone has to use AI. And if for some reason you don't want to, that's okay, but we won't be able to employ you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. I totally get that. Now, we're beginning to see more. Well, we've talked about this a little bit, and we see the job losses in the headlines. What don't you see in the headlines? What are people not seeing right now?
Yeah.
You know, so, like this headline versus reality stuff.
Right. At one level, you have people that are afraid. This guy gets back to the, reminds me of the other day when I went to my barber. He said he's got a lot of programmers coming in, and they're afraid they're going to lose their jobs because they're 50 to, when programmers are now 50 to 100 times more productive. And so you're thinking they would use fewer programmers. But that's not always the case. In fact, it's actually the opposite, Steve. What happened in the 1860s, there was a gentleman, William Stanley Jevons, and he figured out a way to create a steam engine that could use one ton of coal instead of 10. So, and everyone thought that the demand for coal would go down dramatically. Instead, it exploded, right? And so that's part of what you're not seeing, is that when small businesses get that ability to hire a programmer that can do 100 times more, even if they never had a programmer, but they need that service, but they couldn't afford it. Now it's the person's 50 times less expensive. And so that's what's going to happen. And that's the part that you don't see, is when small businesses hire one, two, three people at a time, 99% of the businesses in the U.S. are those small businesses. Mm-hmm. And so we see the big headlines, Meta lays off 7,000, but you don't see maybe the 50,000 small businesses that then start to hire people. It doesn't make the headlines.
I see. So, you know what? Now, your organization, I keep saying ONLC, how does it help organizations and individuals navigate all this?
We have training programs and AI adoption, AI enablement programs for small businesses. So that's one. And then the flip side of it is the Applied Academies that we have that teach these skills to individuals so that they can become one of those people riding the top of that K curve. So you have to get trained. That's the thing. You have to align. What can happen with that K curve is you're going to have what the economists call structural dislocation. There are lots of people who want jobs, but the people who want the jobs don't fit the classified ads for the or the online ads for those jobs. So there's not an alignment. So that's what we do. We help the businesses augment, and we help the individuals learn how to help the businesses.
Perfect. Hey, folks, stick with us. We're right back with more Saving with Steve and Andy Williamson.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. I truly want to thank you for joining us and sharing us with your friends and family. We're back talking with Andy Williamson about navigating this AI job shift. The big question here in this last segment is, what should our listeners actually be doing? What should you do right now, especially with this whole AI navigation?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. You need to start learning, but it's not like learning Excel. We teach a lot of Excel, by the way, over the years. The thing is, with Excel, you could have learned it in 2018, and it would still be relevant today. It didn't change that much. That's not how AI works. AI keeps changing on almost daily basis, keeping up with it. And so you've got to keep up a little bit. You have to work hard to keep up with that. And so that's one thing, and helping organizations keep up. And that's really the only sustainable moat. You know, they talk about a moat around an organization, you know, what protects them from being overtaken by their competitors. And that's, that continuous learning that would help an organization. But in terms of AI fluency in general, that's one of the things we teach. There are three things related to AI fluency. The first is knowing the concepts. So there's this thing called a pivot table in Excel. And even if AI can do it, if you didn't know it existed, you couldn't conjure it up. So you have to know what your business and what your subject matter is. You can say, make me a pivot table, and it will do it for you. But you had to know what it was first. The second thing is judgment. And that's really coming up right now, because the AI will produce things that are slightly off and hallucinate and aren't really what you want. And if you think it's right all the time and you just say approved, you're going to get burnt, right? And I think you've talked about this too with the lawyers that cite
the lawyers that are citing cases that don't exist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they've had some, you know, one lost their law license over it. So, yeah.
Yeah. So you have to look at the outputs. And even if it seems confidently right, you really need to look at it. And the last one is collaboration. And that's where you have to learn to work with the AI. And I do that all the time in my chats. that changes over time too, because the models keep getting better. And they found, they did a study that people who have what they call theory of mind, a theory of mind of what the AI is thinking, the more you can kind of predict how it works and how it's thinking, the better your outputs. And so that just comes with time and practice. Mm-hmm. So it's not something we could teach you in a, you know, 1 hour webinar. You've got to work on it for months. But that's what people can do to get this general level of AI fluency.
What you're really saying is, you know, AI is a lot like learning a new skill. Hey, you learn how to do it, but you don't really get good at it until you've practiced it and worked at it and stuff like that, and become proficient at it. And then, you know what, you can, you know, like when you hear somebody play a piano after they've been doing it for a few years, they go from plunking to like, oh my God, that's really, really nice. That's beautiful.
Yeah, in Germany, don't they have the apprenticeship program? You have to spend 10,000 hours doing the same thing, right? And then you really know how the material works and how the tool works. Mm-hmm. This is like that. But the thing is, the tool keeps changing, so you have to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally agree. So we're coming to the last portion of our last segment here. If a listener takes one thing away from this, what should it be?
Let's see. Well, lifelong learning, I think that would be it, right? And then you think about, where do you start? Where do you even start these days? And there's two tools that I've used, not exclusively, and they're free. So I'd tell them to look at YouTube. And what happens is, once you start looking at AI videos or related videos, the algorithm picks up on that. And the next day it shows you the latest thing in that same category. Mm-hmm. And so that's great, because they're demonstrating things that happened yesterday at the Google I/O conference. There's videos out today talking about those features. You can't get that anywhere else. And then there's another product. It's called, and I would write this down, everyone, if you write anything down, I'd write down Notebook LM. Notebook LM is a free program from Google. And it's been out for a little over the year, and it keeps getting better and better. And so what happens is, if I get a technical topic that I don't fully understand, or even if it's like, you know, an hour and a half video, I can give that video to Notebook LM. It will work on it for a minute. It'll create a 15-slide deck explaining it. It'll create infographics all about it. It'll give me flashcards and quizzes related to it. But what I really like about it, and many people may have heard this, are the podcasts that it does. It has two people talking back and forth, and you would think that they were real humans. And they discuss the topic in a way that makes it understandable and enjoyable. And then after I look at all those assets, then I'll go back to the scientific study or the video, and I'll come in and I'll already know something about it. So that's one thing you can do. The other thing is these new tools. I have to tell people about this thing from Claude. It's called Claude Cowork. And Claude is a model from that Anthropic, a company called Anthropic. Uh-huh. And that's what really changed things. So remember I said back in the fall of this year, it got so much smarter. And so when they came up with this Cowork thing, it was so good, Microsoft invested $60 billion in Anthropic so that they can include that in Microsoft Copilot, that thing that comes with all the Word and PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. And now you can do something called Copilot Cowork and use all the state-of-the-art Anthropic models. And my team is using it. We're doing things we couldn't do before. And the team of, not the programmers, but the regular administrative people are doing it. So So those are a few things I would look into.
Wow. So here we come down to it. Where can people find you and learn more. This is really something special, and I know you do this for individuals. So let's first talk about what you do for solo business owners, because I've already got a few coming in. They're watching us live on Facebook. They're like, hey, what do you do for the solo practitioner there?
Yeah, we have a number of classes that are being put in what we're calling the Applied Academies, where you can take a class and maybe it's got 15 hours worth of material, but you can take it, Steve, in a short half day if you want. And then you can work with the on-demand content. There's on-demand content out there now, but you know, they just throw you into it and you don't get any help and you don't have any context. And so we have this hybrid solution because we're finding out that organizations don't want to spend full days or multiple days on training. They don't have time. And many people are able to learn on their own. And so that's why we have this single format that's dual purpose. You can learn it totally on your own. But we call it always human, Steve. So it gets back to the augmentation, because you can ask help. If you take a course on whatever, LinkedIn Learning or Coursera, you can't ask anybody any help. But if you take one of our Applied Academy courses, then you can actually get a human to help you out as well. So those are a couple of things that we go to market with that. And then we have AI enablement programs for small, medium businesses that need to. And it's going to be a slow walk. We don't just come in and, in a couple of weeks you're finished. It could be a 12-week planning program, do some pilots or prototypes, train your staff, and then maybe get into a one-year engagement, because it's more than just installing Excel. You know, you have to change, you might change the way you work and redo your workflows, right? So that you can figure out what's the AI good at. Let's automate that part. And then what are the humans good at? Let's amplify and augment that part.
So for example, some people have asked, you know what, I'm looking at, we've got a couple more minutes and I got a bunch just popped in. When it comes to things like marketing, connecting people on the internet and companies through LinkedIn or what have you, can you help? Are you able to show somebody how they can use AI to actually create that type of marketing campaign?
Yeah. So when I purchased the company from my business partner earlier this year, we decided to do a hard pivot more into AI, and we're just about to release, you know, so somebody could send us a note, info@ONLC or something like that. And as those are being released, they can sign up for a newsletter, and those will be released over the next 60, 90 days. But you're right. Companies want to create that marketing department of one. Somebody that can just take certain still images and write things for blogs and take the still images and turn them into customer-facing videos, post on LinkedIn, things that you might have needed a small team of five, and now a small business can afford to hire one person to do the work of five. So that's a good example of a new role that's being defined that nobody knows about, that, you know, you don't see that when companies are doing that versus the big layoff rounds, but we're making lots of new positions in small businesses.
Okay. So if somebody wants to get in contact with you, info@onlc.com.
Yes. Or even my email, andy@onlc.com.
Okay. And augmented framework, is that for businesses?
It's really just a, yes, there's a website, augmentedframework.com. And that's where I'm holding out a lot of these general ideas that will help. It's not really a sales website. It's just trying to explain what augmentation means. Yes.
Okay.
And so it's more of a learning. It's our principles. It's not a sales site.
Okay, perfect. Hey, Andy, I want to thank you for being here today. You there's a lot of ahas that I came out of this, like, oh my God, I didn't know that. And a lot of our viewers and listeners are hearing the same thing. And I'm going to encourage everybody to listen to this two or three times, because when you do, you're like, oh, that's how it's working.
Well, you know, I'm trying to make things better, especially now that I have little Remy. I got to make it, you know, so that he can make some decisions when he comes up to bat, you know, so that he'll be able to help guide things forward. But we have to leave him something that he can work with. So that's what we're trying to do.
Hey, thanks for being here, Andy. Folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthy or happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. I want to thank you for joining us. But folks, I want to kind of take the pulse of what's going on. And you know what? I would love your feedback. You can go to viewers at savingwithsteve.us, type in there, send us what you feel and say, I'm just asking this. There's some of you thinking, you're looking at your investment statement. You're excited. You're saying, oh my God, I'm finally back a little bit ahead. I'm 4 or 5% above where I was 6, 7, 8 months ago. How many are out there feel euphoric about this? And you're saying, hey, we've turned a corner, smooth sailing ahead. You know what? Any guys out there feeling that today? Okay, great. How about this? Are you feeling this? Whoa, Steve, I'm looking at my statement. My goodness, we're finally back. We dodged a little bit of a bullet out there. But man, I still feel uneasy because nothing makes sense, because we still have way overvalued valuations. We still have the war. We still have inflation. It's rearing its ugly head. I mean, you're hearing that. Yeah, what's the price of the pump? I just don't feel like we're on steady ground. How many are feeling that? Next, how many of you are feeling just like, man, I'm confused. It's just one day, another day. It's a smorgasbord of emotions. How many of you out there feeling that? You know what, folks? I get it. My goodness. Let's stop and look at what's going on at the moment. Once again, inflation is rearing its ugly head. Seemingly everywhere, gold's up, copper's up. We're seeing singles everywhere. We know it's going to apply more pressure that we're already seeing from daily living to the markets and everything you're feeling. You know what, folks, this is the reason, you know what, you want to really start taking a look at, hey, how do I establish some guardrails and make some intelligent adjustments and possibly develop a precise exit strategy, not to time the market or anything, but to get prepared for the good, the bad, and the uncertain out there. I mean, you want to make sure, you know, this is a world of uncertainty. So you want to make sure that you're going to get through this with your lifestyle intact. You want to be prepared for when, you know, when that big balloon that's floating around Wall Street pops, how are you going to absorb the losses? And you know what, folks? Opportunities. Taking those opportunities of good time. You know, in chaos, there's opportunities and there's a lot of chaos right now. So, folks, I just wanted to share that with you. great time to have a conversation with your advisor, your broker, the whole shot. With that, I want to thank you for joining us. Andy Williamson of ONLC was awesome today. We learned a lot about AI. I encourage you to listen to this again and again so you can get those little pearls of wisdom and get yourself a direction of where you want to go. With that, I want to thank you for joining us today right here on Saving with Steve. Look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.